الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear brothers and sisters and elders today we are going to be doing the second element of our brand and we began by asking this question what is our brand And we said our brand consists of four elements. Now what are the four elements? Can somebody tell me quickly? What is the first one? We love Allah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. We love Allah. Second one today is we obey Allah. We obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the third one? We are one nation. One nation. And the fourth one is? We are people with a mission, right? Now don't go to sleep. Listen and remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second element of our brand is Muslim. What is the meaning of Muslim? Muslim is one who has submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who has submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask this question in Surah Al-Baqarah and I remind myself to ask myself this question and for you to ask this question to yourself. And that question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question and you have to understand the Arabic to see the pain in this question. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ How can you deny Allah? The words of Arabic have that the original has that element in it. And subhanAllah, every time when I am praying Taraweeh especially, when you know that this ayah is going to be recited. Other times, of course, it's a pleasant surprise when it happens. But in Taraweeh, we know it is going to come. I especially look for that recitation, especially when the imam who is reciting is somebody who understands the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in his voice. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ How is it possible that you deny Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا Seeing that you were dead, you did not exist. You were not there. There was no mention of you. هَلَا تَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيَّا مَذْكُورًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, has the human being forgotten the fact that there was a time when there was not even a mention of him? Not only was he not only did he not exist, even his thought didn't exist. Even the idea of him as a person didn't exist. Has he forgotten this time? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ And Allah is the one who gave you life. He is the one who gave you everything that you have. He is the one that he gave you all your faculties in good shape, in good condition. He is the one who gave you aql, that you understand. He is the one that he gave you everything that you have. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ And he is the one who will give you death. You will die, I will die. You will die and I will die. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ Allah said, Malakul Maut has been set on you. Say to them, you will die. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ Say to them, you will die. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ And Malakul Maut has been set upon you. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ That you will be returned to your Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ He gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ He will kill you, you will die, and then he will resurrect you and he will give you life again. Just as he gave you life when you did not even exist, how difficult can it be to give you life once more after you have existed once? Ajib, how is it so difficult and why is it so difficult to believe in resurrection after death? Because if the one who created us when we didn't even exist, there was no mention of us, what is so difficult for him to recreate us after he created us in the first place? And unto him you will return. وَيْثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Unto him is your return. How can you deny Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, as the example of obedience. And he said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. No arguments. No arguments. No hesitation. When his Rabb said to him, submit, be a Muslim, he said, I have submitted myself. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. That is the example for us to follow, my brothers and sisters. The relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a relationship of love. And that's why we began. What is the first element of this deen? That we love Allah. We are people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything and anybody else. And if there is a problem with that, then we need to address that problem and correct that problem. If we love anyone and anything, including ourselves and our own lives, more than we love Allah, then there is a serious problem with our iman, with our faith. So we need to address that. And then if we are people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to understand that our relationship with Allah is a relationship of love. Trying to understand this relationship through fear is futile. Let me explain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. The ayah which we hear every Jum'ah in the khutbah as part of the Muslim khutbah. When Allah said, O you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ittaqullah. Ittaqullah. Haqqa tuqati. Not have taqwa of Allah any way you think, any way you like, but as it is His right that people should have taqwa of Him. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except in a state of Islam, except in a state of complete submission to Allah. I want you to keep this thought of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to explain to you what is the meaning of taqwa and how it is not fear, but it is fear of displeasing the one you love. It's not fear of, it is fear of displeasing. Think about this. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? He says that do not die except in a state of submission to Allah. Do not die except in a state of Islam. Now think about this. If someone gave you a Lakers cup, or gave you a Manchester United shirt, or gave you any of these, or maybe a Ferrari jacket, right? That's about as close as you and I will come to a Ferrari anyway. And if they said to you that we are going to send our inspector to knock on your door at any time of the day or night, right? And if the inspector finds you wearing that Ferrari jacket, then the inspector will be carrying with him the keys for a brand new Enzo Ferrari. And if he sees you wearing that Ferrari jacket, he will hand over the keys for the car to you. Free. Completely free. You get an Enzo Ferrari without paying for it, without marrying the daughter of somebody who has an Enzo Ferrari, or any of those much more expensive options. Right, cheaper to pay for the car directly. So if somebody gives you this thing and says that all you need to do is to ensure that you are wearing that jacket when our inspector comes, what will you do? You will wear it even in the shower, yes? You will wear it even in the shower. You will sleep in it, you will wake up in it, you will wear it until it disintegrates on your body. You will not take it off at all because you don't know when that guy is going to come. When he will come and knock on your door, and then you become the owner of a brand new Enzo Ferrari. Now look at this one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my inspector comes, ensure that you are in a state of Islam, and then I will give you Jannah. Not one Enzo Ferrari. I will give you the whole Ferrari factory. And I will give you the opportunity to design and redesign and redesign Ferraris as you go. And the opportunity to be driving on that Ferrari on an 8-lane highway or by yourself, and you redesign the car as you are driving. And as you are driving, the car completely changes around you. Ajeeb, huh? Think about that. You don't even need to send it to the factory to read. No. As I'm driving, I wish this was this, and it becomes. As you are driving, the car changes. As you go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will give us anything you want. So why not this one? Now tell me this. So how can we ensure? How can we ensure that we are in a state of submission when the agent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and knocks on the door? What is the name of that agent? Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut. How can we ensure that we die in a state of Islam? What is the only way to do that? Is to live in a state of Islam. The only way that you can choose to die in a state of Islam when that time of death is not specified, we don't know that, can happen anytime, is to live in a state of Islam 24/7. Live by the code of Islam, irrespective of what anyone else says. My brothers and sisters, the only one who is worth pleasing is Allah. Nobody else. When we seek to please only Allah, those who love Allah will automatically be pleased with us. And those who do not love Allah will be automatically displeased with us. Alhamdulillah to both. Alhamdulillah to both. We do not have to worry about pleasing or displeasing any other person, any human being, or any other creature on the face of the planet, as long as we are focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, the question I'm asking is, so do we love our Islam? Ask yourself this question. Do you love Islam? Please note, I'm not asking, do we practice Islam? I am asking, do you love Islam? Because sometimes we practice Islam as if it's a musiba to be endured. And somehow, you know, we have to pray. So we come and we dump the salah on the carpet and we go away. All right, done. Finished. One tick. Salat al-Dhuhr, you prayed? Tick. Jummah, you prayed? Tick. What did that Dhuhr do for you? The same thing which the Jummah did for me. Nothing. Nothing. Is it like that? Or are we like those who used to wait for salah? Are we like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to say, Farihna biha ya Bilal. He used to say, give us happiness with this adhan, O Bilal. Call the adhan. Are we like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu? Somebody went to his servant and said, tell us about the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas. What did he used to do? The servant said, very simple. He used to wait from one salah to the next. He used to pray one salah and he would wait for the next. And in that period, he would recite Quran. He would be doing his work and so on and so on, but he would be continuously reciting Quran. And he is waiting from one salah to the next. He finished Salatul Fajr. Now he says, when will the time for Dhuhr come? When will it come? When will it come? When will it come? I'm waiting. Which one? Which are we? My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Allah said the Muslims love him more than anything and anyone else. This is our character. This is our signature. This is why we obey Allah not only willingly and happily without complaint, but consider obeying Him the most valuable and essential thing in our lives. My understanding is that taqwa, which is mentioned and translated as fear of Allah, is not fear of Allah, but fear of displeasing Allah. Fear of displeasing the one we love above anyone else. So the more we love Allah, the more we fear to displease Him. And this is how taqwa and the love of Allah are directly related. The greater the love of Allah, the greater the level of taqwa. The person who is not a muttaqi is the one who doesn't love Allah. He doesn't know Allah, he doesn't understand. And therefore he is able to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we love Him, the more we want to please Him, the more we thank Him, the more we obey Him, and the more we'll want to live our lives in obedience to Him. We do not want to rebel against Him. We do not want to be ungrateful to Him. And that to me is the meaning of taqwa. My brothers and sisters, if you read the surah, if you read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see the confirmation of this understanding in the incident of Hudaybiyah, where the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, They obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite not wanting and liking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do. The treaty of Hudaybiyah was very, very hard on the Sahaba. They did not like to make that treaty. They did not like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make that treaty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not wish to make the treaty. But this was the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they entered into the treaty and the Sahaba obeyed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they followed him in that treaty. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after that? Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Allah said, verily we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a clear and manifest victory. What victory was that? That was the victory of submission to Allah. A treaty which was a symbol of, within quotes, defeat. A treaty which was so one-sided that even today if you read that treaty without a background of the seerah, you will say, well, you know, why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sign something like this? But Allah is calling it what? The greatest victory. That was the test. That was the final test for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. When they passed that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of Makkah for them. They were going to go, they wanted to go to Makkah under the control of the Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Makkah, the keys to Makkah in their hands. When they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, in the Asbabun Nuzul of Suratul Baqarah, as mentioned in Tafsir ibn Kathir, Abu Huraira and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُم بِهِ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth. And whether you disclose what is in your hearts, inside yourselves, or conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it. And then He will forgive who He wishes, and He will punish who He wishes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. Please see, when you read the Asbabun Nuzul of this ayat, it gives you a window into the lives of the Sahaba, and especially into their attitudes and understanding of the kalam of Allah. The narrators of the hadith, Abu Huraira and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, said that this ayat was very heavy on the Sahaba. It was very difficult on them. And they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they fell down in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on their knees. Please note, they did not make sajda to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went down on their knees with the weight and burden of this ayah. The kalam of Allah was real to them. They did not read the Quran for sawab. They read the Quran because it was real. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to me. I have to answer Allah. What do I say? And believe me, that is true for you and me. Wallahi, one of the akabirin, one of my shuyukh, he used to say, the Quran, you have to ensure that the Quran's nuzul happens on your heart. You have to ensure that the Quran is revealed to you on your heart. Then you will do what the Quran tells you to do. The nuzul of the kalam of Allah has to be on our hearts. So the Sahaba went and they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give zakat and we give zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will hold us accountable for our thoughts and our desires. They said, Ya Nabi Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have control over our tongues. We have control over our actions, but we have no control over the thought that comes into our minds unbidden. We have no control over the desire that comes into our heart unbidden. But Allah says He will hold us accountable for that and He will punish or He will forgive. How can we bear this? My brothers and sisters, before I tell you what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me ask you a very simple question. Do you think this question of the Sahaba, does it sound reasonable to you or not? What do you think? Is it reasonable? Yes, no? Yes. But you know what the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? The The Sahaba, the narrator of the hadith said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed face became red with anger. Became red with anger. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will you be like those people before you? When the kalam of Allah was revealed to them, they said, Sami'na wa asayna, we hear but we will not obey. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kul, Sami'na wa atana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. He said, say, O our Rabb, we hear and we obey, and please forgive us, and to you is our return. Whose words are these? The words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see what the Sahaba did, because this is what differentiates them. That was the generation which was the benchmark for the whole world. Till the day of judgment. What did they do? Immediately they came with a complaint. They came with an objection. They came with an objection which was not out of rebellion. It was an objection which seemed to be reasonable to them. They came to their leader, to our leader, to Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that objection. But when their Nabi and our Nabi and their leader and our leader said to them, this objection is not legal, this objection is not reasonable, say, you will hear and you will obey without question. What did they say? Did they argue with him? Did they have anything to say? No. They said immediately, Sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. O our Rabb, we hear you and we will obey you. We hear you and we obey you. O our Rabb, forgive us, and to you is our return. My brothers and sisters, and then see what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this action of his Nabi and his companions so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the same words of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and returned them as his words, as his kalam, to be recited until the day of judgment. These are the wages of obedience. Jibreel alayhi salam came, and along with Jibreel came 70,000 angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, about whom there is so much of fazila, about which there is so much of blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his words. Amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. The words of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the words of his Sahaba, returned as the kalam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have expressed the meaning of this in his own words. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have expressed the meaning of this in his words. But Allah did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to use the exact words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And then, the rahmah of our Rabb, the mercy of the one beyond whom there is no one who is merciful, the forgiveness of the one beyond whose forgiveness there is no one who can forgive. See what he did. See the wages, the rewards of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refuted the earlier ayah. And he said, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha, laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktasabat. Allah said that Allah does not burden a person beyond his capability to bear that burden. And you will get the reward for the good which he earned, and you will be punished for the evil which you earn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revoked the earlier ayah. He accepted the dua of the sahaba even before they made this dua. And then, see the mercy of our Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the sahaba how to make dua. Who is teaching how to make dua? The one who accepts the dua. Ajeeb, eh? If the one who accepts the dua teaches you how to make that dua, then what do you say about the acceptance of that dua? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the sahaba how to make dua. And he said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِنَّسِيْنَا وَخُطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Sa'd bin Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, whenever he recited this ayat in Salah, he would end by saying Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them how to make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask this way, Our Rabb, do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. Our Rabb, do not lay on us a burden like that which you laid on those before us. We are weak. O our Rabb, do not put on us a burden that is greater than the strength that we have to bear it. And O our Rabb, pardon us. Waghfir lana. O Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, waghfir lana warhamna. Wa'afu anna. Waghfir lana warhamna. O Allah, forgive us, pardon us, forgive us, and have mercy on us. Anta Maulana, you are our protector, you are our helper, and give us victory over our enemies. My brothers and sisters, the question I ask myself, and the question I ask you to ask yourself is, are you a Muslim? Seriously ask yourself the question. Are you a Muslim? Yes or no? Ask yourself this question. You don't have to answer me. You have to answer your Rabb. You have to answer inside your own heart. Are you a Muslim? Let us make our choice actively and consciously. Let us become Muslims by design, not by accident. Once you make the choice, please realize that you have no other choices. The meaning of abd is slave, not servant. One of the many mistakes in translation that happen in English translation of the Quran. I don't know whose idea this was, that wherever it says Abdullah, they have translated servant of Allah. A servant is someone who comes into an employment by his own will, and he can leave by his own will. He can resign and he can say, Salaam alaikum, I don't work for you anymore. Try doing that with Allah. We didn't come into the slavery of Allah with our will. Allah created us. And we have nowhere to go, believe me. Even if you die, you still go to Allah. So where are you, Mr. and Mrs. Servant? Where are you going to go? We are not servants. We are the slaves of Allah. And alhamdulillah, we are very happy to be the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of mankind are the slaves of Allah. They are all the ibadullah and the amatullah. They are the abdullah. They are the slaves of Allah, male and female. They have a choice of being obedient slaves or being disobedient slaves. That is the choice. The choice is not whether to be a slave or not to be a slave. We are human beings. Do you have a choice of being an elephant? No matter how much you like elephants? Do you have a chance of becoming a cockroach no matter how much you like cockroaches? I mean, Allah Alam, today people seem to like all kinds of rubbish. Hey? No. You just have a chance of being a good human being or a bad human being. That's all. I mean, you don't have a chance of turning into something else. So also, we are the slaves of Allah. We do not have a chance. We can't resign. We can't go anywhere. The sooner we come to terms with the fact that we are the slaves of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us to the level where now we will be given the treasures, the keys to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be given the keys to the treasures of Allah. And do remember, Nobody gives the keys of their treasures to rebellious slaves. The keys to the treasures are given only to obedient slaves. My brothers and sisters, I'm saying that we need to make this choice consciously, because the freedom to choose is related only to entering Islam. Please understand this. The freedom to choose is related only to entering Islam. Once we have entered Islam, there is no choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force anyone to enter Islam. People are free to enter Islam or to stay out of it. That will not change their situation of being slaves of Allah, except that if they don't enter Islam, they will be disobedient and rebellious slaves and not obedient slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in Surah Al-Kahf, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and said to them, the truth is from my Rabb. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Whoever wills, let him believe. And whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Verily, we have prepared for the zalimun, for the transgressors, for the oppressors, a fire, the walls of which will surround them. Please understand, when you say, I have the freedom to choose, this is one of the biggest confusions in the minds of people. They say, we are free to choose. You know what that means? It means you are free to choose the consequences. Please understand this. There is no choice free of consequences. So when you are saying, I'm free to choose, you are free to choose the consequences. So decide which consequences you want. Do you want the consequences of muttaqina alayha mutaqabilin yatufu alayhim wildanun mukhalladun wa akwabin wa abariqa wa ka'sin min ma'in, and so on and so on? Or do you want to choose the consequences of narun ahata bihim suradiquha? We have the freedom, absolute freedom to choose the consequences. So make your choice. Make your choice. My brothers and sisters, when the Banu Nadir were expelled from Medina, there were children of the Arabs, of the Aus and Khadraj, who used to stay with the Banu Nadir. And this was because there was a superstition. The Arabs, they used to have a higher rate of infant mortality, for Allah alam what reasons. So there was a feeling, and there was the superstition, that if these children were sent to stay with the Yahud, the Banu Nadir, who were the ulama of the Jews, that if they were sent to stay with them, that they would survive. And so there were a lot of children of the Arabs who used to live with the Banu Nadir. So when the Banu Nadir, and you know why they were expelled, they tried to assassinate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they reneged on the treaty that they made, so they committed treason. In any state in the world, including today, the punishment for treason is death. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not pronounce that punishment, even though it was his right to do that. He expelled them from Medina. So they were allowed to leave, and they were allowed to leave with all their possessions. Nothing was taken from them. So at that time, these children of the Arabs were also going. So the Arabs came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do with our children? Shall we hold them back? And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. No, Allah revealed, La ikraha fid din, qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, there is no compulsion in deen. I'm saying this because among the many confusions that are there today among the Muslims, especially among the educated unemployed, and that confusion is, they quote this ayah, La ikraha fid din. So if I want to pray, I pray. If I don't want to pray, I don't pray. So la hawla quwwata illa billah. At least you have a choice. You have a choice. The choice is, keep your mouth shut and be thought to be a fool, or open your mouth and dispel all doubt. Right? So that's a choice. So if you're ignorant, at least keep your mouth shut. I mean, maybe you look like you're an alim. You know, like me, I only look like an alim. So keep your mouth shut. The ayah came for people to make a choice of whether they want to be in Islam or out of Islam. La ikraha fid din is not an ayah for Muslims. It is an ayah for those people who are considering, should I enter Islam or should I not enter Islam? And to them it is being told, there is no compulsion on you. No one is going to chop your neck, and nobody is going to shoot you, or nobody is going to do anything to you. Most welcome, you are free to accept Islam or to stay out of it. But once you accept Islam, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين رشد من الغي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the difference between the right path and the wrong path has been made clear. There is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the right, from the wrong path. Both of them are وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. You have been shown both the ways. Your choice, make your pick. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْوُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the one who disbelieves in the falsehood, who disbelieves in taghut, and believes in Allah, verily that person has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. SubhanAllah, see the imagery of the Quran. See the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed this. Allah did not say he made the right choice. No, he said he has grasped a handhold. Whose hand is he holding? Which will never break. Which will never break. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold our hands until we are inside Jannatul Firdaus ta'ala bi ghayri hisab, inshallah. So make the choice consciously. Consciously choose. And say, I want to be Muslim. Yes or no? I want to be Muslim. Consciously make the choice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila an-nur. Allah said, Allah is the wali. Allah is the closest friend and confidant and supporter of the people who believe. We want to become awliya Allah, yes? But Allah is saying, He is your wali. He is your wali. Allah waliul ladhina amanu. And what is the sign of the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, Allah extracts you from minaz zulumati ila nur, extracts you from the darkness into the light, extracts you from misguidance to guidance, extracts you from jahannam to jannah. Walladhina kafaru, and those who deny, awliya'uhumu taghut, then their wali and their awliya are the things and the people that they used to believe in. The taghut, the false gods and the false goddesses and whatnot. And what do they do? يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. And they take them out from guidance into misguidance, from Jannah into Nar. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will be their companions in the fire forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that and to enable us to live this life in a way that is pleasing to Him and which is a source of khair for us in this dunya wal akhirah. Inshallah, we will complete this khutbah and we'll continue with this khutbah next Jummah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His blessing for all of you here. Two things I want to say to you. One is, please make dua for the forgiveness of the father of our dear friend and our dear nephew, Saad from Sudan, who is one of our sons who is here. His father passed away. So make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus ala bi ghayri hisab. And alhamdulillah, Allah has given him a good son. And so his son is a source of sadaqatul jariyah for him, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and to save him from the tests of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter him and keep make him one of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to give him darajat in the Jannah bi ghayri hisab. The other good news is that we have another brother of ours who wants to take Shahada today. And inshallah, after the Salah is over, those of you who are not in a hurry to leave, I request you finish the Salah, we finish the Sunnah, and after that the brother will take Shahada, inshallah. Those of you who are not in a hurry to leave, come and witness that. It is a great barakah and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to witness someone who takes Shahada, who comes out from the Zulmat into the Noor, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless these brothers and to bless all of you and all your families and to accept all your du'as. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.